Financial regulations in the spotlight.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Senate Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd is expected to announce later today he's retiring. The Connecticut Democrat was a key figure in the government response to the financial crisis, including some legislation to tighten oversight. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So what was Senator Dodd's role in the wake of the crisis?
Well, he sponsored a bill just this past November that would do a number of things. It would create a Consumer Financial Protection Agency and impose new controls on credit rating agencies and some of those risky investments that led to the financial crisis. It would also take away the power of the Fed to regulate banks. So that means the Fed wouldn't be able to directly examine or supervise bank holding companies like Morgan Stanley or Bank of America. And Dodd's bill would also strip the Fed of its authority to shut down a troubled bank.
And why would he be retiring now?
Well, Dodd's been under a lot of criticism from people who say he got a sweetheart deal on a mortgage from Countrywide Financial. And of course, Countrywide was one of the biggest issuer of subprime loans. Dodd also took a lot of heat for his contribution to legislation that seemed to make it easier for executives of American International Group to get bonuses.
And Nancy, what happens to the financial reforms Dodd proposed in his bill?
Well, Reuters is reporting today that some key senators are close to a bipartisan deal on some aspects of Dodd's bill, namely keeping the Fed out of banking regulation. But, you know, even if agreement is reached on that in the Senate, the House still has to be convinced, and it has already passed a financial reform bill, and that measure does not strip the Fed of its bank regulation powers.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer with us from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Officials from the European Union met in Athens today with the Greek government. They're trying to head off a financial crisis there that could have some global repercussions. The country is in serious debt. More than 12% of its gross domestic product. The European Union limit is 3%. European markets are thinking about that right now and some problems in Iceland, too. Shares in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are all lower right now, about a third of a percent or less. Asian shares closed mostly higher today. Wall Street yesterday pretty much flat. Stock futures, though, point to a lower open today. Could that be a trend of the future? Some brokerage downgrades could be signaling some future individual stock trading declines. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
E-Trade might advertise that trading stocks is child's play with those commercials featuring that wisecracking talking baby.
A lot of people are like, aren't you too young to invest in the markets? And, you know, A, don't worry about it. I mean, you don't know how old I am. And B, I use E-Trade, so check it. Click.
But it's been mostly the big boys who've run up the markets in the past year. Once burned, twice shy mom-and-pop investors have largely stayed away. You might think the Dow's rebound above 10,000 would be an enticement, but in recent months, E-Trade reported plunging trading volume, and now market watchers worry others may follow suit. Morningstar analyst Jason Wren hints the market might be a victim of its own success.
There probably was a feeling as you rolled on through the course of 2009, people were afraid that they missed the boat.
That may have discouraged them from hopping on too late, and now talk of an impending correction could cause more doubts.
If things just kind of putter along and we're in this sort of malaise, trading volumes could stay depressed for quite some time.
Like the overall economic recovery, it seems restoring faith in stocks is a long, slow climb. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The health services company HealthSouth was cited one of the biggest accounting frauds of the past decade, totaling more than $2.8 billion. 15 employees pleaded guilty to fraud. Fired CEO Richard Scrushy was acquitted of any wrongdoing, but he's serving prison time for an unrelated bribery conviction. Aaron Beam and Scrushy co-founded HealthSouth back in the 1980s. The former chief financial officer served 3 months in prison for that fraud. His new book, Wagon to Disaster, gives his version of the accounting scandal. Aaron Beam, good morning.
Good morning.
How did it get started?
Well, we did a lot of what I call aggressive accounting, capitalizing of things that was acceptable by the auditors. We did that from the very beginning, but the out-and-out fraud didn't start until we'd been a public company for about 10 years. And Richard just did not want to disappoint Wall Street by reporting a bad quarter. And he gave us a long speech about how the company was doing good, and if we could just get him through this quarter, everything would be okay. And my chief accountant, Bill Owens, actually suggested, making fraudulent entries. And Richard said, that's fine if that's what we need to do.
And he also served time as well, Bill Owens, right?
He did.
How did it get reported? I mean, for so long, these numbers were made to advertise, as you said, to Wall Street, that everything was better at the company. I mean, what took this pyramid of lies down?
Well, it was actually the law that was enacted because of Enron, and it emphasized that if you were the CFO and you were signing off on financial statements that were fraudulent, you could go to prison for a much longer time. And Weston Smith, who was the CFO at the time, just couldn't take it, and he called the FBI and reported that there was fraud on the books at HealthSouth.
You started a new business in Baldwin County, Alabama, just outside of Mobile. Is that in Loxley?
It's in Loxley, and I have a lawn service business. I have no employees. It's just me. But I'm living my life honest now, and there is a lot of peace of mind in that. When I mow somebody's grass and they pay me $50 in the heat in South Alabama, I know I've earned that money, and I sleep well at night.
Well, Aaron Beam, the founder and former CFO of HealthSouth Corporation, based in Birmingham, Alabama, and now doing some lawn work, and we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you, Steve.
And finally, a human skull will be put up for bid later this month at Christie's Auction House. Officials there believe it once belonged to Yale's mysterious Skull and Bone Society. Christie's isn't saying who's putting it up for bid, but it could go for $10,000 to $20,000. It apparently was used as a ballot box in the 1800s. Talk about your boneheaded elections. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.